For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. My guest today is the poet Connie Voisin. She's the author of three full-length collections of poetry, Cathedral of the North, which won the 1999 AWP Prize in Poetry, Rare High Meadow of Which I Might Dream, which was a finalist for the Los Angeles Times Book Award, and 2015's Calle Florista. Her most recent chapbook, And God Created Women, was published in 2018, and later this year she will release a book-length poem set in Belfast, Northern Ireland, titled The Bower. Voisin teaches in the Creative Writing Program at New Mexico State University, and she will be reading tonight at 7:30 at Spark Central as part of the EWU Visiting Writers Series. Connie Voisin, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
So I thought I'd ask by starting you to read one of your poems so that we can get the sound of your work in your ear, and then we'll talk more about it.
Okay, I'm going to read from the chapbook, And God Created Women. I started thinking about women who had, during World War II, been very useful, or they felt very useful to the war effort. And then when the war was over, they were expected to go back home. So I started thinking about that position and how these women might have felt very useful for a while and then struggle to reintegrate. And so this is called Self-Portrait as Medic. I am stained by this war, and who wouldn't be? Staggering into the traffic in the square, blood soaking my uniform, my mind poured out. How to say what I could have asked for instead? A vase? A lovely scarf? How can I return to being pale, freckled, and wanting? You are my duty and my dulling. It's a row of you moaning. I hold all your greasy heads. I change my clothes, a little more gone in the hourglass, in my shoes, in the radio, in the surgery, blood soaking the beloved warm, and I love your wounds more than my own soldiers. With my clean hands, fresh apron, my neatly skewered curls and cap, all I have is yours. I bathe you again in my drum of ribs, my cup of skull. I recall how the saint buried alive is released to be buried again in the hagiography, or rather, manual for losing beautifully.
That was my guest Connie Voisin reading from her chapbook of poetry, And God Created Women. So I think that poem is a good one to start with because it seems like it typifies from what I've read of your work as a style that you have that's, I've heard another person describe as a sort of lyrical narrative. So the language is intensely rich with images and the language is really lyrical, but there is a story underlying most of your poems and there are characters. So can you talk about the balance between those things? How important it is for you to the reader to come away from the poem with a sense of story, and how important is it for them to evoke an emotion or hold on to an image?
Well, they're both important, of course, but I feel very committed to having a larger audience rather than a small one. And part of that has to do with the way I was raised by storytellers who weren't necessarily storytellers in the literary sense, but were very active in their storytelling every day. And so I always feel that perhaps in even this literary mode, I can reach out and connect with people whom are that way.
So I also read somewhere that you said you're a really slow writer and that you go through dozens of drafts before finishing a poem. But my reading experience is the opposite. I read your poems really quickly. There's this sort of an energy that moves really quickly. Does that come from the slowness? Do you get that sort of compression and speed from that process, do you think? Or is that not something you're conscious of?
This chapbook actually was an experiment in doing exactly the opposite. I wrote it in a month.
Wow.
And I wrote every day. The assignment to myself was to sign up for one of those poetry listservs. You know, you can go to poets.org and get a poem a day emailed to you.
Yeah.
And so the email would come with a poem in it, and then I'd sort of sit down and write a poem in response. And sometimes I might just take the title and change it a little bit, or sometimes I might riff off an image. Sometimes I badmouth the poet who wrote that poem, but those didn't go in the book. So it was sort of an opposite experience for me to try and get it done quickly and see what happened. This book happened right after some poems that I'd been working on for 10 years were published. And so I just felt like I can't do this anymore.
So what was the difference in the finished product, do you think, between writing something really quickly and sort of laboriously working on drafts?
I think one thing that happened was I felt a lot more adventurous tonally. Like, I felt like I could be a little funnier. I felt like it could be more, I have different voices going on in there in a way that when I stick with it so long, it feels so connected to my own particular perspective. Well, I felt like when I was writing quickly, I could just dash off like here's a nurse, you know.
Right. So speaking of forms and what you can do in various ones, I'm really curious about your new book, The Bower, which is a book-length poem set in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So why a book-length poem and why that particular place and setting?
Well, I feel for you fiction writers after having written a 60-page poem, but I felt like I had taken all these notes about Belfast and I couldn't figure out how to put it all together, and I couldn't do it in separate poems. I just decided my experience there was one continuous one. We were there for 2 different years. And when I was over there the second time, I don't know if people know about Northern Ireland, that they had, you know, a conflict there that was really, it was probably 30 years of conflict. And it was neighbor fighting neighbor. I mean, the basic conflict had to do with some people felt that Catholics were second-class citizens in that culture, and the people who were in power were not Catholic. And so it started as a civil rights issue and became something much, much more divisive and sad and tragic. It's a small country, and 4,000 people were killed. So it's a very complicated story. And so being in this country where people have a really hard won peace right now, and they decided they had to get along no matter what, and they had to really try this, like, to just stop the nonsense. And it was a very, you know, America was very involved in that peace accord that happened in 1999, I believe. And they've really worked hard to maintain some sort of functional, unified, or more unified culture. So I felt like I was in this country that was really trying hard to not make the mistakes that everybody in America was starting to make. And so I just felt this, I don't know. So that's sort of the story. And so it is about the dangers of sectarianism, but it's also trying to explain these things to a kid.
So was that your own children that you're trying to explain to through the poetry?
Yeah. And sort of, you know, like, what's a petrol bomb is sort of it's an odd thing to have to explain to a child.
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, there are people who grow up with that. So it was, I don't know, it just made me think about it in all these different ways living there. And we were warmly welcomed by the traditional music culture there, because my husband's a fiddler and so is my daughter. And so it was, the music was a place where people were both Catholic and Protestant, and they played together all throughout this. So we had this one model for how perhaps we could live through our differences through music. So anyway, that's sort of the story of it.
So it's a book-length poem, so obviously we can't have you read the whole thing on the air for us, but would you be willing to read a few lines from your book-length poem, The Bower?
Yes. Just to contextualize, I'm bringing my child home from school, which we had about a mile walk to and from school every day in what was usually pouring rain. And so here it is. Pieces of the end of a day of my time here. The charity solicitor uses the word whilst sincerely. They all do. And whilst I walk, I am untangling myself from a web of this against the moving fog, primitive clouds that roll as if they must hurry to the ledge of the horizon, hordes of them, animals urging each other to the blind leap over the edge of black slate rooftops across Sunnyside. I will not hurry. Brick, brick, yellow door, black, black, red door. My daughter notices there is not a single stop sign in our neighborhood. Why don't we all crash? Says she. Feeling peckish? Says the grocery wall. Everything seems tangled in a knot of ending until we stop at the crosswalk. The rain begins again. D presses the small yellow button to halt the traffic so we may traverse the busy Ormo Road. I tell this small girl, you have the most powerful finger in the world.
That was the poet Connie Voisine reading from her book-length poem, The Bower, which will be released later this year. And she will be reading this evening at 7:30 p.m. at Spark Central as part of the EWU Visiting Writers Series. Connie Voisine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.